Welcome back to the Content That Grows podcast. I'm your host, Nate Turner. Today, we're going to be talking about multimedia storytelling and creating content for specific segments and personas. Today, I'm joined by Michael Goldberg of Freshworks. Michael is a marketer with over a decade of experience empowering large corporations, B2B companies, and nonprofit organizations across the nation to discover and share their brand story through the practical use of marketing, design, and social media. Michael is currently Director of Content Strategy for Freshworks and has had similar roles in the past with companies like Vonage, Innodata, and Triplelift. Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing me on. I love talking content, so appreciate the chance to ramble on about it.
Yeah, it's great. I think there's some good stuff to get into today, and you have a wealth of experience in these areas, so I think there'll be a lot to cover. So I guess before we, fully get into the topic, would love to just kind of, like I mentioned in the intro, like you've had, different content and, heading up marketing type of roles in your career. Maybe just a little bit about kind of how you got to where you're at Freshworks and why Freshworks, why now, what's been exciting for you in this role?
Yeah, great question. So, in my current role, I'm really focused on helping drive that middle funnel of content, driving demand, pipeline, growing our prospects, and hopefully turning potential buyers into customers through great storytelling. In the past, I've owned content at many different stages of the funnel, from top-level thought leadership all the way to product marketing. But at Freshworks, we are split by funnel. We've got an editorial team leading thought leadership that I work very closely with. And I think it's really great experience to marriage content marketing and thought leadership in a really smart, strategic way while aligning it with our product and messaging. So, I look at our thought leadership as our front door into our content and then the content marketing, which hopefully drives people to want to talk to our sales team and learn more about our products.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so before we, dive into kind of the nuts and bolts of some of the multimedia storytelling stuff, I'd love for you to just kind of define, what that means to you and just kind of set that context.
Yeah, starting out in my career, I was a journalist. I was all about being a writer. The written word is very important to me, still is to this day. But the way people engage with content today is very different than it was 5, 10 years ago, even 2, 3 years ago. So as a content marketer, I have to understand, how can I tell that story and bring it to life the way people want to consume content today? So when I think multimedia content, I'm just thinking of ways to tell stories that may be through videos, through visuals, infographics, short reels, the way the world is going with TikTok and other things that I'm still an old man trying to learn. How do I take that and apply it to those formats? So to me, that's how I'm thinking about multimedia content in the future.
Yeah, cool. So, I mean, maybe from there, we can kind of get into some of your more specific or deeper thoughts on and learnings that you've had over the years of doing that. You mentioned, a little bit there about kind of the different formats and channels, but, where would you like to share, and kind of what you've learned over the years of doing that?
Yeah, I think, in everyone now, especially in marketing, they want the big, fancy, big, sexy production. So everyone's like, video, we need video. And, there's no doubt that video is really important. But I feel like where people kind of miss the boat is they start with video and then they don't know where to go after that. So for me, it's really about bridging what that journey looks like. I do think there's obviously a big opportunity to attract attention and consumption through video, but you have to have an end place in mind. So video is great for people to understand something quickly. They get the idea. It's easy to consume on their phone or while they're doing multiple things. But I like to think about the whole 360 strategy. So you want to put a video together. Okay, where does that video lead someone to? What action do you want them to do? How do you bridge that other side of what you want them to do. Ideally, in my world, download a piece of content or fill out a form. You've got to connect the dots from that video all the way to even the email that you get after someone fills out a form, downloads something, and it connects right back to that original story. So I think there's a lot of different touches you have to think about.
Yeah, that's great. And I think there's, I know on a recent episode, we just talked a little bit about like, you know, creating quality at scale, you know, and big part of that is like I thought of that when you said like, oh, I'm going to do this big video. Like, I think that, you know, you can also run into that challenge of like all your attention goes into that one video at each stage and then it's done. And then you don't have like more behind it in the pipeline that are at those other stages. And you're kind of like, just, you know, ends up being a little more lumpy and, you know, now you got to wait a couple more weeks or months to get the next one out. And, I think that's totally fair. I mean, we've talked quite a bit before about like, all kinds of, you know, you do a bigger content project and all that attention goes into that project. But maybe not as much into the infrastructure around it and the supporting elements and some of those other things that are critical to, you know, the overall success of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of different elements that need to go in. You can't just think one format and say, oh, that looks great, move on to the next thing. Really got to build out that big plan.
Yeah. So how do you, you know, with your writing and journalism background, like how does like the storyline aspect of it kind of come through for you and like the actual storytelling part, you know, especially if you're kind of going in like the more multimedia way across video and written and different things and kind of how you're planning it, like maybe just would love to learn a bit more about like how you think about keeping that storyline consistent through, or there's different parts or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing I do is I start with the audience and understand what it is that will help them do their job better. You know, when people are searching online for something, they're not searching for like product information. They're searching to solve a problem, to alleviate a challenge they have. So what I want when I'm putting my content together, whether it's a video or a blog or a white paper or whatnot, I want that to be the answer to their question. I've had a lot of, you know, come to heads and battles internally sometimes because people on the product side or sales side or engineering side will say, well, you're not talking about this and our product does this and these are really cool features. And for me, it's like we can get to that after we get them in and gain their trust. But I want to know not about the features, but what's the outcome of those features and how it's going to help someone do their job. So that's how I'm thinking through that story, you know, telling that through a video where they can learn about that and then pique their interest and only, maybe like leave them with a cliffhanger. That video should say, oh, I want to learn more. And then magic, here's the ebook that will tell you everything you want to know about how to do this, but still not talk about selling a product. Leave that to salespeople to do at the right time.
Yeah. I like that. I think that it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the initial part being to solve their problem or answer their question or, you know, any of that, I think builds that trust and makes them want to keep going deeper into your company and the content and actually, you know, eventually talk to sales and all that stuff. So, you know, you're at Freshworks, which is a bigger company. You mentioned like partnering and being close with like thought leadership side. I'm curious your thoughts and experience around like having consistency as well, you know, because obviously your goals perhaps are built around middle of funnel, but like Freshworks overall wants to have consistent messaging and consistent positioning and storyline and all that. Like, any advice or things you've learned over time of kind of like working together with other teams and creating that consistency?
Yeah. Well, I think that the biggest takeaway is content doesn't happen in silos. You know, I've often have thought of myself as, I've got this, I know the story. I'm a great writer. I have a great team of content writers and, you know, writing is kind of an art form. So you want to keep it close to your heart and just do what you need to do without a lot of inputs. But, you know, I've learned quickly that, you know, you need all the inputs from, again, the product side, making sure you're aligned with what the actual messaging is for that consistency, but also working on with closely with the brand team, making sure that the tone and voice is the way it looks on the website. So I'm not responsible usually for writing website copy, but if a piece of content has one tone and voice, and then you go to the website and it's completely different, that's not a good experience. So, you know, it's really important to, you know, get those inputs from the brand side, aligning on, you know, who the brand for us, for Freshworks, what our voice is, and that goes across everything we do. And also visually, that's really important. You know, visual storytelling is something that I think content writers can do, but to actually bring it to life, you need the creative team, good graphic designers, and making sure that we can tell the story that fits what our brand is.
Yeah, no, and I think you're hitting on a good part. I know in the, like your bio, you know, you mentioned like marketing and design, and I think especially in the context of what we're talking about, multimedia storytelling, visual storytelling is a very unique skill set. You know, there are a lot of great designers, but like being able to take data or a specific point and be able to convey that visually is definitely, you know, a big part of that too. And really, I think can make it feel really right and like just really hits well and strong visual, or it can just kind of be whatever.
Yeah. You know, I like to think of myself as a designer that doesn't know how to use any design tools. While I'm not a good designer, I think I'm one hell of a doodler. So I would always come up with things in my head and then give it to the design team. And of course, then they'll take that initial idea and turn it to something completely different and much, much better.
Yeah. You're a conceptual artist. Yeah. I think it's important. I think, you know, as a content marketer, being able to have that vision and communicate it is important to kind of ultimately get that end result and not just, well, I wrote it and now I'm going to ship it off to design and hope they give me something good. I think there's a huge, huge delta there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, working with many designers in the past, probably one of the things they hate is just saying, here, do something with it with no direction. And they're like, okay, what?
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So, you know, I guess for someone who's maybe not, doing this quite as much, like maybe they're just only doing blog content right now or only doing a podcast or something. You know, what are maybe two or three little more practical tips around, you know, this idea of multimedia storytelling that you would recommend for them just kind of easily get started and start making progress towards doing that?
Yeah, I think the first thing you can do, knowing that, you know, good video, whether it's on YouTube or in someone's LinkedIn feed, should be really quick and to the point. So I like to think about all the content I'm doing, whether it's a blog or an ebook, how can I boil that down to three or four bullet points? Those bullet points can usually serve as the foundation for like a script for a video or an outline that you can work with a production person on and create something. So to me, it's always like, what is that four or five main key benefits that you can build out and use in different areas? And I think secondly, you know, just in terms of the consumption side, understanding your audience, you know, where do they like to consume content? Are they on LinkedIn? Are they, you know, younger? Are they looking at like Instagram, TikTok? Are they just using search? I think that can help, you know, that can probably influence the types of formats of the video or any other content, whether it's quick 30-second reels or a little bit longer show and tell type videos on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, a big fan of that. We've talked about that a few times in the past on the podcast about like, if you're going to repurpose content or, you know, in this case, kind of set out to do in multiple, you know, formats, don't just pick what you want to do, like what sounds interesting or what you think it might be. Like, spend your time understanding one, like the format that fits what you're trying to convey. You mentioned before video just being like maybe easier to understand, or visual, but also just where people spend time. Cause otherwise you're creating it for yourself because it's not going to get consumed. So yeah. Cool. Anything else on that storytelling side before we shift into a bit more of like the creating content for segments and personas?
Just again, I think it's important to have multiple partners and all of that, because it, like I mentioned, you can be a great writer, but you need a lot of the right pieces and a skill set to bring it all to life. So I try and establish really good relationships with a lot of different teams to help, you know, make these things work.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. All right. So next we'll kind of shift into like, I'm excited for this part too. Like, have seen a lot of great examples in the past and have had some success myself of just really, not trying to continue to create content for your overall generic audience or make it appealing, you know, one to many kind of thing, but really, getting more specific. So, would love to just kind of have you break down some of your more specific experience around doing this and things you've found that worked well.
Oh yeah. I've always, you know, I've worked, at a lot of different companies that had a lot of different types of audiences. I've worked at companies targeting marketing professionals, and I work at companies targeting, data scientists, and they're completely different audiences in terms of what kind of content they like. You know, marketers obviously are very critical and suspect of everything being marketers, and you really have to impress them. So, you know, and when I've been working with that audience, maybe we go into doing a little bit more high touch campaign type content, you know, again, leaning more heavily on visuals and branding, to engage that audience, where a data scientist or engineer, they just want facts. They just want hard stuff that helps them do their job. So maybe you lean into more practitioner, actionable type content. So, you know, that's just how I think about what the end format of a content looks like, depending on the audience you're talking to.
Yeah. 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 I think that the, you know, one of the things to me that stands out as a benefit, and we had this a bit at Sprout Social as well, was like, we found that the more, so, you know, we'll just use Sprout as an example, social media management software. Some people can kind of look at that and be like, oh, there's only so many ways you can write about this topic, or, you know, there's only, you know, so many features or things, people, pain points they have. But it's really kind of when you start to segment that it, you know, it's exponentially more things that you can write about, you know, and like, and just knowing that each one of those is more targeted and better solving their problem. It resonates more. Like, if you're an agency and writing about how whatever this topic is specifically for an agency and referencing tools that agencies use and all that stuff, like, it just hits so much better than, you know, trying to get into the generic use of that, you know, feature or tool or something. And so, to me, that's been one of the biggest benefits. I don't know if there's others that you've found, from that, but, you know, really being able to, like I said, kind of exponentially increase the amount of things that you can create over time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's where verticalization comes in. If you have a product that a lot of different people are using, for example, we have a customer service product, you know, B2B companies use it, but also financial companies, retail companies. So when you break into how retail companies are using things versus finance and go into their industry and bring in some of the trends and best practices, it's really different. You could tell a lot of different stories that are really important to those groups. But at the end of the day, you're still talking about that foundational, you know, customer support layer that ties into the product messaging. But again, you're telling different stories based on what people care about in their day to day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think the vertical aspect's certainly another big one. Any other, you know, so I mean, company size, you know, SMB, enterprise, verticals, are there any other segments or personas that you've had experience with, or maybe that was like a little unique to one of the companies you were at?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the data engineer side was definitely a unique audience. Because again, they didn't want big, shiny, fancy things. They wanted, you know, being data people, they wanted data. So, you know, we did a lot of custom research to always lead with stats. And, you know, a big proponent of research is a story across the board. But that audience specifically really wanted hard data backed by sources. And, you know, they loved consuming that. So, yeah. I guess that was a unique, and we didn't have to make it a fancy looking report. They just consumed the data. We're on the marketing side, you know, we went all in on more of the infographics and the stuff that I, as a marketer, love to read.
Right. Yeah. No. Again, I think that's, you're hitting on the key point, which is putting it in a format that they'll actually consume and that's valuable to them and all that. And yeah. So, I mean, similarly, I just trying to be kind of like helpful and a bit tactical for anyone that's maybe not at that point, or they've kind of been operating a content strategy so far that's more high level, just kind of like hitting on the topics and benefits and stuff. Like, any recommendations you have on, from your experience, like how to kind of just easy baby steps get into some of that, like segmentation and really tailoring your content strategy around it?
Yeah, I think it's important to become best friends with your product team and getting those personas mapped out. You know, typically, I product marketing leads that. Maybe some other teams do it, but I think it's really important to get that information before you start building out your content strategy to really understand, all right, who's our audience? What do they look like? What do they do? What are their challenges? What are their needs? That can create a lot of storylines that you want to start writing. That's not just based on what the product marketers are saying. Well, here's how the features align to what they need. And then, of course, doing a lot of research on that audience is always helpful. Bringing in some of the things that are important to them that you hear from, like, you know, Gartners and Forresters of the world. I think that's really a foundational start for understanding, you know, how you build out a good editorial calendar that will be aligned to their needs.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, you didn't say log into Ahrefs or SEMrush, and you didn't say whatever you feel like, which I think, unfortunately, still is kind of the starting point for a strategy for a lot of people. And I, 100% agree. You know, researching your audience, I think it's always helpful, but I like the product team call out as well. Because realistically, they're talking to customers, they're potentially doing or have done jobs to be done research. They may be looking more specifically at how the product's used, all that stuff to have some really good insights and a good starting point if someone wanted to do some segmentation. Yeah, so
the sales team too. Totally. If I ever get a chance to go on like a call with a salesperson and sit, being a fly on the wall is the best thing, because you can hear that prospective buyer bring up questions that, you know, we're not going to find by searching, and just hearing it from their mouth really will spark some ideas sometimes.
Totally. Yeah. I remember, we kind of take it for granted now, but, you know, Gong and tools like that weren't a thing, you know, before. And when the first time I got to just log in and start listening to sales call recordings, like, it was extremely eye-opening. Because, you know, before that, I would kind of like comb through in Salesforce some back and forth emails with customer stuff. But when you just like hear in their voice and the way they describe and you just can't believe that they don't understand what seems like the most basic thing with your product, but it's just the reality. And then obviously there's edge cases, but you listen over and over and realize people aren't understanding these things. And it's very humbling, and like you said, yeah, just gives you so many insights to actually hear that sales conversation and how they describe stuff.
Yeah. The only downside is when you go on a sales call, then the salesperson's like, I let you in. Now I need this.
Yeah. By the way, here's the collateral ask list. Yep. Yeah, that's good. Cool. Before we wrap up, I want to just kind of more generally open it up. Anything else you wanted to share around content strategy? Just because you've had the opportunity, like you said, to a lot of different formats and, you know, different types of companies, different audiences. Anything else you wanted to share?
Yeah, I think just going back to our original conversation at the beginning, this move to multimedia content, I think I like, you know, I've been saying to people who want to listen that it's no longer about being a content writer, but being a content producer is really important. Mm-hmm. So foundational storytelling and writer is never going to go away, but just how you bring a story to market, you know, I think that's where it's changing. Where maybe you're tasked with writing 3 blogs. Does it have to be a blog anymore? Are there different ways to tell that story? So I like to think of myself as, you know, producing content and then working with the right team to bring it to life.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And a good thing to end on. So yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap up there. Be sure to check out 10speed.io/podcast for any previous episodes. Like and subscribe on platform of choice. And yeah, we'll wrap it up there. So thanks so much for coming on, sharing. It was great to have you.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks.